Okay, let's dive right into this. You sent over some really interesting material for us today, all about protectionism.
That's right.
Now, protectionism, it might sound a bit, academic, but honestly, this stuff directly impacts your wallet, the things you buy, maybe even the jobs available where you live.
It really does. I mean, it's all about government choices, isn't it?
Yeah.
Choices that manage how goods flow across borders. And yeah, those choices ripple out into everyday life.
Exactly. So our mission for this deep dive, using your sources, is to really unpack it. What is protectionism? How do governments actually do it? And what are the big arguments, for and against?
And the material gives us a pretty clear map for that, looking at the meaning, the tools, the whole debate in international trade.
Great. So let's start right there. The first big question your source material tackles: what actually is protectionism at its heart?
Well, the sources define it pretty clearly. It's a government policy, or really a set of policies, aimed at limiting international trade.
Limiting it. And the goal.
The main goal, explicitly, is to shield homegrown domestic industries from foreign competitors.
Okay, shielding them. And the why behind it isn't just one thing, is it? Your source mentions several key motivations governments might have.
That's right, several. Things like protecting jobs at home, safeguarding domestic employment, especially if imports seem cheaper,
Makes sense.
and also promoting self-sufficiency, making sure the country can produce critical things itself. That's become a bigger talking point recently.
Yeah, you hear that a lot more. And the material also talked about protecting new industries, right? These infant industries.
Exactly. Giving them breathing room, a chance to grow strong before they have to face, the full force of global competition.
And then there's shielding strategic sectors, vital ones.
Things a country feels it just can't rely on others for. Defense is a classic example. Maybe food supplies, energy.
Critical stuff. Another one I mentioned was preventing dumping. What's that exactly?
Ah, dumping. That's when foreign companies sell their goods in your market for less than they actually cost to make, or less than they sell for at home. It's seen as aggressive, designed to kill off local competition.
Okay, so protectionism can be a defense against that.
It can be argued that way, yes. And finally, the material mentions trying to improve the balance of payments, basically cutting down on imports to try and fix a trade deficit.
It's interesting, though, because the source material immediately sets this against the idea of free trade. It mentions groups like the WTO, the World Trade Organization.
Right. The WTO generally pushes for fewer barriers, more open markets.
So free trade is kind of the opposite philosophy.
Broadly speaking, yes. The idea there is that if everyone removes barriers, countries specialize in what they're best at. And theoretically, the whole world benefits from more efficiency and, well, cheaper stuff overall. Protectionism deliberately steps in the way of that.
Prioritizing domestic issues instead.
Exactly. Prioritizing those specific domestic goals we just talked about.
Okay, so if those are the reasons why governments might want to limit trade, how do they actually go about doing it? What tools do they
I mean,
use?
the toolkit. Yeah, the material lays out quite a few different instruments, and they each work a bit differently, have different effects.
Let's start with the one most people probably know, tariffs.
Tariffs, right? They're basically just taxes on imported goods.
A tax at the border.
Pretty much. Goods come in, a fee gets added, and boom, the price goes up for buyers in the country.
And your material had some pretty hefty examples, like Mexico putting 150% tariff on Brazilian chicken.
Wow.
Or the US with an 11% tariff on UK bikes.
Yeah, they can be significant. The whole point is to make the imported item less attractive price-wise compared to domestic alternatives.
So, what are the main effects the material points out?
Well, number one, the government imposing the tariff gets some revenue from the tax. That's one thing.
Okay.
Domestic producers, they benefit because their foreign competition is now more expensive. But, and this is key, consumers usually end up paying higher prices.
Right, because the cheap option got taxed. And the material also flagged that big risk of retaliation, didn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Trade wars. You tax their stuff, they tax your stuff. It can escalate. That's a major downside highlighted.
So it helps local firms, but maybe not the most efficient ones globally.
That's the argument the material presents. It encourages local production, which might be less efficient than what's available internationally.
Okay, so tariffs use price, a tax. What about import quotas? How are they different?
Quotas work on quantity, not price directly. The material defines them as a physical limit.
Like a cap.
Exactly. A maximum amount or sometimes value of a certain good that's allowed into the country over a set time. it directly restricts the supply coming in.
The source mentions South Korea's old rice quotas as an example, although they switched to tariffs later.
Right. The immediate effect. Protection for domestic producers, because foreign competition is literally capped. But the material notes, this usually means higher prices for consumers.
Because there's less available overall.
Precisely. Less supply drives up the price. And importantly, unlike tariffs, the government doesn't get any tax revenue from a quota. It's just a limit.
Just a wall, basically. And the material suggests this can lead to less efficiency, fewer options for you, the buyer.
That's the trade-off, yes. Less choice, potentially higher cost.
Okay, moving on. Export subsidies. This sounds like the reverse, helping companies sell out of the country.
It is, exactly. The material describes these as financial help from the government to domestic firms.
Like cash payments.
Could be direct payments, cheap loans, tax breaks, things like that. The aim is to lower the company's costs so they can sell their products cheaper abroad, making them more competitive internationally.
Your examples were things like the EU's farm supports, the CAP, US subsidies for cotton farmers, maybe China and solar panels or steel.
Yes, those are common examples cited. The goal is to boost exports. But the material warns this can cause problems.
Such as?
Well, it can lead to overproduction at home. And it can lead to dumping in other countries' markets, flooding them with artificially cheap goods, which hurts their local producers.
Right, which could definitely annoy other countries and lead to retaliation again.
Absolutely. They might slap tariffs on your subsidized goods. Plus, these subsidies distort world prices, the material points out, which can be really tough on farmers or producers in developing nations who just can't compete.
And it costs the government money to pay these subsidies in the first place.
A definite financial burden, yes. It's noted as a significant cost.
Okay. A potentially complex tool. Now, embargoes. These sound, well, pretty extreme.
They generally are. The material defines an embargo as an official outright ban on trade, either with a whole country or on specific products.
And often political, right? Not purely economic.
Very often, yes. The material points that out. Think of the examples given. The U.S. embargo on Cuba, which is long-running and political, or more recently, EU sanctions on Russian energy.
So the impact is just stopping trade.
A severe disruption, yes. It's used as a strong diplomatic lever, a form of pressure. But the material highlights the downsides, too. Potential shortages and higher prices at home for the goods you've embargoed, it might encourage smuggling or black markets.
Didn't think of that.
And it almost always leads to bad blood, strained relations, and often reciprocal actions from the targeted country. It's a blunt instrument.
Definitely sounds like it. Okay, the last tool the material detailed is a bit sneakier sounding. Red tape or excessive administrative burdens.
Yeah, this is less direct than a tax or a ban. It refers to all sorts of regulations, paperwork, inspection processes.
Hurdles, basically.
Exactly. Hurdles that make importing goods more complicated, time-consuming, and expensive. Think really complex customs forms, difficult licensing requirements, maybe health or safety standards that seem deliberately designed to be hard for foreign products to meet.
So it's not an upfront barrier like a tariff, but it acts like one by adding costs and hassle.
Precisely. The material explains the impacts. It raises costs for foreign suppliers, which indirectly protects domestic firms. It makes the whole process of trade less efficient.
And who does that hit hardest?
Well, the material suggests it can disproportionately affect exporters from less developed countries who might have fewer resources to navigate really complex bureaucracy. It also just creates uncertainty, which isn't good for business or investment.
Wow. Okay, that's quite a range of methods governments can use, which really sets up the core tension your source material gets into. The great debate. Given all these tools and goals, is protectionism actually, you know, a good idea?
Yeah, and the material lays out both sides pretty clearly. Let's start with the arguments for protectionism.
Okay, the pro side.
A big one is infant industry protection. We touched on this, the idea of shielding new domestic industries, giving them time to learn, scale up, get efficient before they face global giants.
Letting them get on their feet. Makes intuitive sense.
Another very common argument, safeguarding jobs. Using trade barriers to prevent job losses at home when competing with cheaper imports. That's politically powerful.
You hear that one a lot.
National security comes up often too. Ensuring the country isn't reliant on potentially unfriendly nations for essential things. Mm. Defense hardware, maybe critical medicines, energy.
Things you really don't want to run out of.
Exactly. Then there's preventing that dumping we discussed. Using barriers to stop foreign firms selling below cost to drive locals out of business.
acting as a shield against unfair tactics.
And the argument about the balance of payments trying to reduce imports to shrink a trade deficit, that's a more traditional economic argument, you see.
Okay. What else?
There's also an argument sometimes made about preventing exploitation of labor. Basically saying we shouldn't import goods made in countries with terrible working conditions or rock bottom wages. It's unethical.
Right. Using trade policy for social goals.
Mm-hmm. And supporting strategic sectors maybe beyond just pure security, like wanting to ensure food sovereignty by protecting agriculture or developing a key technology sector.
So for national development reasons.
Yeah. And finally, the material mentions cultural or political reasons, too. Maybe protecting a traditional craft industry seen as part of national identity, or just avoiding being too economically dependent on certain other countries.
So quite a few arguments for it, often quite compelling ones depending on the situation.
Definitely. But then the material immediately pivots to the arguments against protectionism. And they're pretty significant, too.
Okay, let's hear the con side. The biggest one seems to be higher prices for consumers.
Absolutely. That's often the most direct impact. Less competition from cheaper imports usually means domestic firms can and do charge more. So you pay more at the till, and you might have fewer choices.
Which links to the next point, right? Reduced efficiency and innovation.
Exactly. If domestic companies are sheltered from tough foreign competition, the argument goes, they might get complacent. Less pressure to improve, to become more efficient, to innovate. They can just coast.
The comfort zone effect.
Sort of. Then there's that risk we keep mentioning, trade retaliation. It's a major argument against. You put up barriers, other countries are very likely to hit back with their own barriers against your exports. Nobody wins in a trade war, usually.
It shrinks markets for everyone.
Pretty much. Another point raised is misallocation of resources. Protectionism keeps resources, workers, capital, land, tied up in industries that might not actually be very competitive globally. Those resources could potentially be used more productively elsewhere in the economy.
Following the idea of comparative advantage.
Right. The material also brings up the possibility of encouraging illegal activity. High barriers or outright bans can create incentives for smuggling and black markets to get around the restrictions.
An unintended consequence.
Potentially. And then there's the global impact. Harming global development. When rich countries use protectionism, especially in areas like agriculture, it can make it incredibly hard for producers in poorer countries to access those markets and earn income.
So it can hurt the development prospects of other nations.
Significantly, yes.
Yeah.
And related to the complacency point, the material warns about a potential long-term decline in competitiveness. If an industry is protected for too long, it might just fall further and further behind global standards and technology, becoming obsolete eventually anyway.
So the protection becomes a crutch that ultimately weakens it.
That's the concern raised. And finally, there's the fiscal burden paying for export subsidies, the cost of administering complex quotas or customs checks that all cost the government, and ultimately taxpayers' money.
So yeah, a lot of potential downsides laid out there too.
It really paints a picture of trade-offs. Potential short-term gains for specific groups or goals versus potential long-term costs for the wider economy, for consumers, and for global relations.
It's definitely not simple, is it? Black and white. Your source material really drives home that complexity. You've got this whole toolkit governments can use, each tool with its own effects.
Mm-hmm. Tariffs, quotas, subsidies.
Driven by a mix of goals, jobs, security, infant industries, but facing these really strong counter-arguments about efficiency, cost to consumers, innovation, and the risk of sparking trade conflicts.
Right. The material sort of concludes that while protectionism can offer short-term relief or serve clear strategic aims, its longer-term effects often seem to drag on growth and efficiency.
And while economists often lean towards free trade on paper,
the sources acknowledge that context really matters. Things like fairness, national security, or development goals can make specific protective measures seem justifiable, at least for a time.
It really underscores that a constant tightrope walk, doesn't it? Balancing purely national interests against the fact that we live in this incredibly interconnected global economy.
Absolutely. It's a fundamental tension in policymaking.
Which leaves us, and you listening, with a pretty big question to chew on, drawing right from this material. Given all these different tools governments have, and all these powerful, often competing arguments for and against using them, how do countries actually decide which path to take? And what does that choice ultimately mean for that balance between their own national priorities and the globalized world you navigate every single day?
That's the multi-billion-dollar question, isn't it?
Definitely something to think about.